Quick question. When was the last time that you actually looked at your website and thought, this is really working for me? If the answer is you're not sure, don't worry because you're not alone. Most therapists have a website, but they don't actually know what's helping it to convert, what might be confusing potential clients, and what might actually be turning people away. That's exactly why a website audit is so helpful because it can give you a clear outside perspective on what's actually happening when someone lands on your website. So I'm hosting a live website audit workshop April 17th, where I will walk you through what to look for, look at your website live, talk about what to fix, and how to make your website actually work for you. To learn more and sign up, head to the show notes to register. Now, onto the episode. You're listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Comegys, a licensed clinical social worker with a multi-state online therapy practice. I have a passion for empowering women and mom therapists to break free of the fear, overwhelm, and oppressive systems that hold them back from taking action and building the private practice of their dreams. My goal is for you to boldly believe in yourself as a clinician and business owner. If you're looking for a place to learn practice building strategy and skill while also claiming your own power as a woman and a therapist, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this week's episode of the Raised Empower podcast. One of the most common questions I get about starting private practice is, how will I get clients? And the answer is through marketing yourself and your practice. But when therapists hear the word marketing, we often cringe because it feels scary or confusing or like it's just too much to do. But it is essential for us in building and growing a private practice. Without marketing, you won't have clients. So I'm excited to be diving into this topic with my guest today, Alex Theodore. Alex is a dedicated digital marketing coach who empowers therapists and private practice owners to build thriving, sustainable practices with marketing strategies that are authentic, ethical, and effective. Her philosophy centers around helping you create a business that aligns with your values, attracts the right clients, and supports a balanced life. Because she knows firsthand the importance of balance as a mom navigating both work and family. She's here to guide you in growing a profitable practice while avoiding burnout so you can focus on what matters most in your personal and professional life. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hello, Ashley. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So I always ask guests to share how you got into the field of mental health, because I love hearing our stories and where they overlap and where there's common themes and where there's differences. So I know you're a licensed clinical social worker. You don't use that in the coaching practice, which, you know, we all know we need to keep those licenses separate, but you are in private practice and you are an LCSW. So share with listeners, how did you get into this field?
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like I've been doing mental health since I was born. I grew up in a helping profession family. My mother is a psychiatric nurse practitioner. So kind of mental health was always just around me. And before I did private practice, I feel like every level of mental health from inpatient, outpatient, hospitalization, and everything in between.
Yeah.
I just kind of stumbled, I shouldn't say I stumbled into private practice. I was kind of thrown into private practice, I feel like, out of necessity. I mean, COVID hit. We went from a two-income house to a one-income house unexpectedly. And quite frankly, my hospital-based agency job wasn't going to cut it from a bill perspective. So I needed to scramble and find something fast that I can do to keep my family afloat during times that we had no idea what was going on. So that's how I got into it. And quite frankly, I wish I started it earlier because I absolutely loved it. But I think the universe just had to give me that kick in the seat to get it done, because it's scary to do it firsthand, especially when you've never seen anybody done before, like really talk to them about how to do it. It's really intimidating to pull the trigger and take the leap for yourself.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of times different fears about what private practice is or like getting started in it, right? We might have that idea of like, this is something I want to do, but the thought of doing it is so scary, especially if we haven't really seen it done before or done in the way that we're, you know, planning on building our practice. And sometimes it takes life situations to just be like, no, you got to go do it. Otherwise we kind of drag our feet and take longer than maybe we need. So it sounds like COVID was one of those things that not that COVID was good, but that it was an opportunity for you to head in this totally different direction that's been so beneficial for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was a wake-up call as to something needed to change. And it again, COVID was atrocious, but it also opened up a lot of opportunities in mental health that were never there before, like online therapy. And for the populations that I work for in particular, that really was an asset because at the time I was working with populations where transportation was very difficult for them because of their medical issues. They normally had to rely on somebody else to do it, which is a challenge in and of itself. Scheduling navigations, pride, wanting independence. Now they were able to schedule and attend their own appointments at their own time frame, and in the privacy of their own home versus having a chaperone or an Uber or someone drop them off someplace publicly and either come back or wait for them and then have the awkward small talk of like, oh, how'd your therapy session go today? Which is not fun for anybody, especially if you're already feeling stressed about going to begin with.
It's interesting because I mean, I actually was doing online therapy before COVID, and I've always been a big advocate since I started doing it. But I never really had thought of it as you're talking about it as like empowering for the client in that way. You know, I'm a big advocate for the reasons you're talking about, right? Like transportation, simplicity of scheduling, but I've never really thought about it from that standpoint as like this is a way to also empower clients who haven't had access, or when they did have access to it, it maybe took some of the dignity of it away from them, or felt shameful, or just wasn't something that they necessarily wanted to engage with other people about.
Especially if family is not open to it, right? Like if you're born into a family that doesn't believe in mental health and you now have to explain to them that you're going to someplace and then maybe even have to convince them to drive you there, that's a big hurdle outside of the fact of whatever personal struggle you're dealing with. So taking that away and having mental health be that bridge was a no-brainer in many ways and just really helped build my confidence level because I knew that I was doing a service that really needed to happen, but then also allowed me to expand my practice to everybody in the state.
So for you going into private practice, obviously, like there was a big part of this that was out of necessity, but it sounds like as you found it, you're like, this is the right fit for me. How did you feel about the marketing piece of private practice going into it?
It's so weird because I think back to newbie Alex starting, and I had this naive vision that clients will just find me. I'll just throw up a Psychology Today profile and they'll just magically show up on my virtual door. Because quite frankly, that's what happened at the agency, right? I said, oh, I have three open slots, and then the scheduler would magically fill it with three, sometimes four people. So I never gave it much thought until I was actually in private practice. I'm like, oh, crud. Like, a Psychology Today profile is great, but that's not going to cut it. So really having to navigate and figure out how to get clients. And quite frankly, that's where I found a love for, because it was a way for me to use my creativity in an aspect that I never got to before. I mean, therapy, I use a lot of creativity, but it's very structured in the therapy session and it's very client focused. With marketing, I can play with it depending on what I liked, what I was working on, and try different things, whether it be social media or blogging or email, and kind of let it evolve as I evolved. Because my practice in marketing now is very different than it was when I was 1 year, even 2 years into the business.
Well, and I think that that creativity part is something that I've heard from a lot of people who either are starting their practice or they have moved from private practice and added some additional income stream that like it connects this part of ourselves that like you said, not that we can't be creative in our work as therapists, but that there are boundaries within that creativity, right? And yet that is still a part of us. And so being able to, you know, if design is something or art is something that is a part of you, like being able to use that in marketing or creating your website or social media, or if music is like somehow using that as an outlet for marketing, right? Like just being able to tap into these other creative parts of ourselves that it's like this muscle that needs flexed again that maybe we haven't done for a while.
And for me, I found that in writing, and that's why blogging in particular really kind of found a near and dear space in my heart. Because in therapy session, I mean, it's all conversational, right? Like, you're, unless you're writing like a journal thing with a client, like, you're not doing much writing outside of your progress note, which is a whole different story for a different day. But with blogging, I can write something and then I can even go back and revise it and change it. So as my thoughts and opinions change and as the world changes, this thing is constantly evolving and I can use new analogies to get people connected and relatable. Whereas when I say it once in the therapy session, I hope it lands and that's the end of it. Yeah. A blog, someone can go back and read 5, 6, 7 times over and gain something new each time. So it's working for me in my marketing versus some other methods, maybe networking, face-to-face conferences. Like, you got to kind of have to perform and do well the first time because you might not necessarily get a second chance to do
it. True. Yeah. Yeah. Many listeners of this show are moms. You know, this show is geared towards women who are therapists. And mm-hmm. and the reality is, even if you are not a mom, women, we tend to be caregivers in other ways, or we are oftentimes like take on additional responsibilities. I've had so many people recently just, you know, talking about being in kind of that sandwich generation of not just caring for children but caring for, you know, aging parents. And so the reality is we are strapped for time. And we, you know, have a lot on our plate, and so it can a lot of times feel like, well, I just need to see the client, but you can't mm-hmm. get the clients unless you're marketing. And marketing, again, it can feel daunting because we're not taught that in school, or feel overwhelming. So how can listeners take an approach to marketing that doesn't have to be like this all-consuming thing or feel scary, feel daunting? Like, what are some strategies to help them kind of simplify that process?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so the first thing, and this is going to sound like a very therapist-y answer, but is to really look inward, right? What do you want your practice to look like? How much time do you want to spend marketing? And what kind of clients do you want to work with? And when you can answer questions like that and really narrow down on your specialty, whether that be a specific population or a specific modality and kind of process that you use, that's going to be such a critical thing. There's so many therapists that I work with in coaching where they say that their specialty is anxiety. That's great, but that can mean so many different things to so many people, right? Like a mom who's going through postpartum anxiety is going to be a very different individual than a teen who has school anxiety, right? Like that could be anything. So by really narrowing down into talking to one specific person, that's going to save you so much time because you're, one, not going to be feeding through all these different inquiries who really aren't the best fit, but two, you're going to streamline your approach and that's going to help dictate, okay, if I am talking to, say, the postpartum anxiety mom, right, where is she hanging out? Where is she getting information on health-related services? Is she talking to that she would trust enough to take a referral about mental health? And that's where I target my marketing versus just kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall and hoping somebody happens to see it.
Yeah. So making sure you're talking to the right person, because you're right. Like, anxiety across the lifespan is going to look different. Anxiety across genders is going to look different. So yeah, you know, really knowing who that ideal client is. The other part of that too, is then knowing who your ideal client is also going to help you to figure out like, where is your ideal client looking for a therapist?
Yes, exactly. So once you know, so I kind of have a three-part system in my head. You have to pick your client in particular, right, of who you want to talk to. Then you're going to think about, well, where are they? And that's going to determine what type of marketing efforts you have, right? So like if they're hanging out on social media, then maybe you consider social media. If they are somebody who enjoys reading articles, maybe it's blogging. If they're more of a listener, maybe it's podcasts, right? And things like that. And then once you have kind of the who, the how, then you have to talk about the what, right? What do they need to hear from you to maybe bring awareness to their problem, to know that, hey, this is something that is not working in my life and this is how I can maybe get some help for it. Bring awareness to your services, right? Of where you are, who you help, what's available. And then really looking at that, not just the pain points, right, but the transformation journey, what's possible for them, right? Because different people are going to respond to different things. Some people are stuck in their pain and that's all they can see. And so they need to know that you understand that. Other people are so focused on, I just need to get out of here, and this is what I want my life to look like, right? So you need to be able to hear those people too, right? So again, it's the who, the how, and then the what, right? Who specifically am I talking to client-wise? How am I going to reach them, right? Again, depending on your person, that could be different things. I really like blogging because it lives on forever, and there's that SEO aspect, which you can talk about. And then the what are we going to talk about that's going to kind of hook them in, give them that education that they need, and then also help them make the informed decision of what resources are out there to help them solve their problem.
Are you a mental health practitioner looking to streamline your administrative tasks and get rid of the overwhelm of running your practice? Look no further than Simple Practice, the electronic health record designed with you in mind. Simple Practice isn't just another electronic health record. It's your secret weapon for simplifying the chaos. From scheduling appointments to billing and beyond, Simple Practice has everything you need to run your practice efficiently and effectively. With Simple Practice, you can finally reclaim your time and focus on what truly matters, your clients and your family. Gone are the days of scrambling to manage appointments and billing. Simple Practice handles it all seamlessly so you can spend less time stressing and more time connecting. With Simple Practice, you can schedule appointments with ease, send automated appointment reminders to reduce no-shows, and even conduct secure video sessions all within one platform. Plus, their HIPAA-compliant telehealth feature ensures that your client's privacy is always protected. Simple Practice also streamlines your billing process, allowing you to create and send professional invoices, accept credit card payments, and even submit insurance claims all with just a few clicks. Simple Practice has designed their platform to be intuitive and easy to use because they know that your time is precious and every moment counts. So whether you're squeezing in clients between school pickups and sports practices or catching up on paperwork during nap time, Simple Practice has your back. Join the ranks of empowered women and mom therapists who are revolutionizing their practice with Simple Practice. Ready to streamline your practice and simplify your life? Head over to bit.ly/AshleySimplePractice to start your 30-day free trial and get up to $200 off your paid subscription. Trust me, you won't know how you ever lived without it. We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting. I want to circle back to what you were just talking about briefly with SEO, because I'm a huge believer and a huge advocate of having a website as one of your marketing strategies, because things like directories have a place and they have benefit. Things like social media have a place and they have a benefit. However, specifically like with a directory, we don't own that. And if we have no control over like how we show up, and social media, the algorithm can change and all of that. But a website, if it is, you know, not through kind of a, I'm going to call it a big box service. But if it is, you know, like a Squarespace or a WordPress or something like that, it is an asset you own. Yes. And your blog posts, you know, I think a lot of times people used to think of blog, like I used to think of it as like, oh, well, people have a blog, it's just like a running diary. And so when I started practice and I was told like I should blog, I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, that sounds dumb. But when you think of it in the strategy, like you're talking about, of SEO, being able to have things in there that your client, right, that person that you're talking about that you want to serve is going to search for, is going to help them to find you, because they may land on that blog post before they're going to land on somewhere else on your website.
Absolutely. Because I don't think many people know this, every page of your website, whether that's like a services page or a blog post, is an opportunity for you to rank number one on Google because it ranks each page individually, right? So people might not hit your homepage right off the bat when they're searching, but they might find that one post that has 10 helpful tips on X, Y, and Z, and that's how they then find you.
Yeah.
I can look at my own website, and my homepage is not the most searched view on my thing. It's one of my blog posts, and that's what gets people in. And then I use my blog post as that entryway, usually to collect an email address by giving them a freebie. And then I can continue that conversation off the homepage, right, in the email inbox. And I can keep giving them blog posts directly versus hoping that they stumble upon it. And so it really opens up the doors to a lot of avenues, but it all starts with that SEO optimized blog post. So when someone types in, how do I find help with X, Y, and Z? I'm more likely to pop up, especially if I can pop up on that first page, right?
Yeah.
That's really going to make a big difference.
Yeah. Well, and I think to that point, one of the things I think is always important when we're talking marketing, because I see people say, look, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. But is that how people search for a therapist? Yeah. You know, like I do, like social media has a place and there are people absolutely who get clients through that.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think to ask yourself, like, if you were going to go look for a therapist, where would you go first? My guess is probably not to Instagram and search in there for a therapist in New Jersey or a therapist in Virginia or whatever it may be, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're probably going to either go ask somebody or you're probably going to go to Google and search. Correct. And so that social media isn't necessarily going to come up, but that optimized website is.
Exactly. Well, because, I mean, social media, I mean, maybe this is just my experience, but from my understanding, people are going there to distract, to entertain, maybe disassociate a little bit from their problems, right? They're going on for that, not really looking to solve an issue. They're looking for fun. And maybe they stumble across something that interrupts their scroll, but it's an interruption, right?
Yes.
Versus someone actively going online to search for it. Yeah. They're hungry for a solution. They're hungry for knowledge and give the people what they're looking for, right? I'm not saying that to like sell yourself constantly, but you're exploring opportunities for them about what is available, because especially in mental health, if you're not in it, you might not know that there are options for this or even know that what you're experiencing is normal and there are other people. It's one of the biggest concerns with mental health is people feel so isolated.
Right.
So if you can just show someone that, hey, you're not the only one, that could be therapeutic in and of itself, even if they never walk through your door.
Yeah. Yeah. That it's just another form of support for them, even if you are not the therapist for them.
Correct. It gives them the opportunity and maybe even the language to learn what they need. So when they are looking for that therapist, right, they know what to find. And maybe you might not be the right person for them, but because you've helped them in some way, shape, or form, when their friend needs someone, your name very well might come up and they might be looking to pass it on because you've helped them. And so it would make sense that you might help their friend too.
If someone is listening and is like, okay, maybe SEO is the thing that like I need to start really looking at, giving it a try. Do you have any recommendations or suggestions of how to get started thinking about SEO as a strategy for marketing?
Sure. I mean, there are so many free resources out there that are great too. I mean, Google being one of them, right? When you go into the Google search engine and you start to type things into the search bar, take a moment and see what starts to pop up underneath you, right? Because those are going to be your keywords, right? And using those as either the blog headline itself, and then you answer it. Maybe there are subheadings in your blog that maybe if you have, for example, the top 10 tips about anxiety for this winter, and you pick 10 different questions that are popping up in the Google search, right? Or at the bottom of the Google page is like the more related searches, you pull up some of those. And you answer those questions, it's such an easy way to start to rank without having to pay for any of those keyword tools because it's literally right on your computer. That would be probably the quickest and the easiest way to start if you, assuming you already have your own website and access to creating a blog. If you don't, you have a little bit of kind of homework to do beforehand to get that started. But nowadays you can get that done in a day and for probably under $20.
Yeah. Do you have any specific like website service that you typically recommend to people?
I really love Lyrical Host. I use that. I used to use Bluehost for a while, but then I recently switched to Lyrical. And their customer service is just so white glove, not just from a hosting perspective, but like from a WordPress perspective, because that's the platform that I use to build my website. So if I ever have questions or if I need a, because there are some great plugins for SEO that I have one that's called Rank Math SEO, that is a free plugin, and it'll tell me exactly kind of how I'm doing from an SEO point and what recommendations to kind of optimize my blog post even more. If that broke, for example, or if it wasn't working, I need another one. Lyrical Host kind of gives me suggestions and walks me through how to fix it, which I've never had that experience with any other hosting provider.
If listeners want to learn more about this blogging and SEO, I know you have a free template or a free resource for them. Can you share a little bit about what that is and how
Sure.
listeners can get that?
Yeah, so I have currently available a free blog post template. So there's three of them in particular that walk through three common posts that you can use for anxiety, depression, trauma, and really customize it to your niche. With that, I've also given some suggested keywords to get you started, namely for anxiety, depression, because quite frankly, every therapist in some way, shape, or form tackles those too. And there's even some headlines in there if you're really stumped on kind of figuring out things. And I think in there, but I can also send it to you too, a coupon code for Lyrical Host if you're really starting from bare bones scratch. I think they give you 10% off to get started if that's something that would be helpful for people. But yeah, you can download that on my website, or I imagine there's going to be a link from the show notes for this. That it comes in a nice Google Doc. This way it's easy. You can edit it right there yourself. And just copy and paste it into whatever hosting platform you do use.
Yeah, and if you want to send me that code, we can definitely share that with
Sure.
listeners and put that
Yeah.
in the show notes. And yeah, we'll absolutely have a link to that freebie in the show notes so people can go there and grab a copy of that. Alex, if listeners want to connect with you more outside of this show, where is the best place for them to connect with you?
So, probably downloading my freebie and getting on that email list is the easiest. But if you are more of a social media fan, you can find me at Stress Less Enterprises LLC. It's kind of long, so I'll make sure that you have it to link to down below. Instagram is my most active social media platform, but quite frankly, I'm a blogger at heart. I'm going to email you those blogs. So if you go to my website, stresslesstherapist.com, hit any of the freebies that are on the homepage. There's a bunch of other ones besides the blogging templates. I'll see you on Fridays in the inbox and they get sent right to you.
Alex, I really appreciate you taking the time. This is such an important topic. I think it can be intimidating and scary, but I think talking about it like this, our conversation today, is just to kind of help pull some of that myth back, and that, I think to encourage listeners that, like, no, it's important, and it doesn't have to be scary. So I really appreciate you taking the time to kind of share your knowledge with us.
Well, thank you for having me. And it absolutely can be scary. I think the most important thing is just to get started. And again, with blogging, you can start it one day and then finish it. I started it when I was nursing with my newborn. I write a paragraph or two, I come back in a couple hours or a couple days later and do another one. It's not all have to be done in one shot. So you take your time with it. If it takes you a week to write your blog post, it takes you a week. It might take you a couple hours and then you're done with it. So it's really perfect for those who are just starting out.
Yes. And again, it gets to create, or it gets to flex that other part of ourselves, that I think is so important. And it honestly is a part of self-care, is taking care of our whole self. So tapping into
Absolutely.
that creative side is important.
I'm excited to see what people, if people do end up writing after hearing this, please send it to me. I would love to see what blogs are out there. I read a lot of blogs, just from my own kind of curiosity as a coach, but then also just spending time at the playground with my little girl when in between sessions, we've got to take a peek at what's going on. So I want to hear what's out there.
So send them Alex's way. Well, thank
Yes.
you again so much for being here today.
Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you so much for listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. Check the show notes for all links and resources mentioned in the show. If you found today's episode helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with your therapist friends. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave your 5-star rating and review. It truly means so much to me and will help us get our message of empowerment out to other women and mom clinicians. And I'd love to connect with you in our Facebook community. So check out the show notes for the link or head to bit.ly/raise to empower to join us. I'll see you back here next week.